Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, July 17th, 2020, and we're going to get started like we do every week over on YouTube. A Wall Street Journal reports that Google does prefer their video hosting platform, YouTube, when users go to Google and search for a video, even if that same video is on rival platforms like Facebook or Vimeo. Now, this has been coming up a lot since Google bought YouTube for ungodly amounts of money in 2006. And in 2014, I actually wrote about a way that it looked like Google might be technically treating YouTube different than their rival counterparts simply because they own them. And in that case, Dailymotion was complaining about YouTube outranking Dailymotion's original video in Google for the name of the original video. And I didn't actually see that, but I did see random YouTube videos that were completely unrelated to that original video ranking. And one of the things I discovered is that while YouTube canonical URLs get crawled and implemented by Google very quickly, almost immediately, Dailymotion canonicals seem to linger in Google's index for days, sometimes even weeks, building up millions and millions of canonicals, meaning Google's only looking at just the video, not the whole page that the video is actually supposed to be on. So I don't think that Google is consciously preferring YouTube in the search tab. They do actually do that in the normal search results, but in the search tab, I don't think they are. Danny Sullivan has even said that they don't want to do that in the search tab. Now, they are actually doing it in the search itself for things like music queries, or when you ask a question, they may find a YouTube video that answers that question at a particular time and prefer you to go to that video instead of the rest of the results. So there is some of that happening. I don't think it's happening at the level the Wall Street Journal article alleges, but they do have some interesting data. If you're a Wall Street Journal subscriber, go check out the article. Now let's dive into Google. Google's Discover, that's the news that shows up in the app below the search box, has apparently fixed a problem that only granted large images to news articles that were coming from AMP pages. And if you remember right, Google, while they spent a lot of time and money trying to convince us they don't own AMP, they actually originated and own the AMP protocol, even though they claim it's open. And so that looked like they were prioritizing, again, Google-owned stuff over normal stuff by giving it a bigger photo. That's been fixed now. They said it was just a technical glitch, just a bug, but that has been fixed. So now everybody that shows up in Discover gets the same kind of big image. A new study by Sistrix looked at millions and millions of search queries on Google and claims that the first listing on Google, the first search result, only gets 28.5% of all clicks to documents in that search result set. This is pretty interesting. I mean, we've seen lots of different numbers over the years. I think one was something around 50, some hovered around 60 for the number one, some around 30, and now 28.5% is really, really low. You would think a lot more people would click the number one result. I don't really know enough about this study to deeply investigate it, but one thing it tells me is maybe there's been a shift in consumer behavior, at least slightly, people looking down the search results a little further. Or maybe is it that it wasn't counting the Google search feature at the top? Maybe Google's search feature is absorbing a lot of that? Or is Rand Fishkin maybe even correct here? Are there just people not clicking on lots of search results? He calls those zero-click searches. I don't actually know. But it's interesting to see a big number like that come out. Millions and millions of search queries, only 28.5% of clicks going to the number one search result. Google has completely removed the Twitter carousel from Google search results. And I'll tell you why a little bit later. The Google search team released new guidance on how to mark up recipe structured data. They used to tell you to just mark everything up as one thing, as the recipe, but now they seem to be telling people to mark up the recipe separate from the video. So unfortunately, if you're a plugin developer for recipe bloggers, you're probably going to have to make a few updates here. And if you're doing this manually or through some other means, you'll probably have to adjust your markup unless you never changed in the first place, you're probably fine. Google Ads appears to be releasing a slew of new features this week. And I say a slew because every article I read seems to mention a different feature. And it looks like, I'm looking over at my notes there, it looks like maybe some press outlets were told about one feature, some about a couple of other features. I'm not entirely sure. It's sort of all over the place, but there is an announcement, an official announcement from Google, and it's sort of rambling, but I read through it. And so there seems to be several different features that Google Ads has implemented this week. I'm not going to cover them all in the video. Google Shopping has banned more products. Now the system has banned downloadable CDs and downloadable software. You can no longer sell those through the Google Shopping system, which is now paid and organic. Google My Business is going to start notifying businesses that have been suspended via email. This doesn't sound like much, but I can tell you from personal experience, getting suspended is harrowing. It totally sucks. And you often didn't know about it until people would call you saying they couldn't find you on Google Maps. Now you're going to get an email telling you you've been suspended. My guess is it's not going to detail why you got suspended, although that would be pretty amazing if it does. But they'll at least be telling businesses they've been suspended, so you can at least start that reinstatement process a little faster. Google My Business has also updated how the product section looks on the back end. So it used to just be sort of some words and like those little tag bubbles, but now it looks a lot more user-friendly, and it's got some pictures, and it's just a better layout, so it looks a lot nicer. In Facebook news, Facebook Messenger now allows mobile users to share screens on their devices. So you can now update Messenger on iOS or Android, and you can actually share your screen with somebody else so they can see what you see. Facebook has landed a deal with major U.S. music labels to allow musicians to share full-length music videos on their Facebook. And it's actually going to happen automatically. This is kind of interesting. Up until now, musicians couldn't share their own work, full-length music videos, because the rights are owned by the music labels. And so they could only share clips or snippets of their own work to encourage people to go watch the music video somewhere else, or to buy the video, to buy the music, or to stream the music somewhere like Spotify. Now, Facebook has landed this royalty deal and is going to allow every major recording artist to be able to add those music videos to their Facebook page. But the artists don't have to. They can actually turn this on. They got to go in. They have to opt in by August 1st. And if they don't opt in by August 1st, Facebook is going to create a second page just for music videos by a specific recording artist. So if you're a musician out there and you don't want your Facebook page to have your music videos on it because for some reason you think it'll get cluttered or it'll bring some different attention to the page you don't want, you don't have to actually allow this to happen. Facebook will just create a separate page. But again, those rights are owned by the music label. So as a musician, you don't really get the ability to tell Facebook they can't have the video. Over on Instagram, well, as predicted, Instagram's Reels, which is a TikTok clone, is coming to the United States, and it's actually going to come sooner than I thought it would. It's going to hit the United States next month. This comes as there is mounting pressure around the world for people to ban TikTok inside of their countries or inside of their organizations. So this may be a huge win for Facebook Inc. and for Instagram itself. I don't know if Reels is going to become an independent platform because it's only available in like Brazil and India right now. So no idea if this is going to be like the new platform or if you'll be able to use your Instagram to make TikTok like videos on Reels. Are they going to call them Reels? I don't know. But it's coming to the United States, so brace yourselves. We've told you about Instagram Shop, which is the new e-commerce effort by Instagram, and they started testing it by replacing the icon at the bottom of the app with that little shop icon. Well, now it is official. Instagram Shop is happening. They're keeping it. It's rolling out to everybody, and it's going to be powered by Facebook Pay, which came out last year. I don't use Facebook Pay, and I'm probably not going to use Instagram Shop, but I bet a lot of people who use Instagram are probably going to use this. So e-commerce sellers, definitely get ready for Instagram Shop. It's going to be a thing. Over on the Snappity Chatty, Snapchat now has brand profiles. These are permanent homes for a brand's content on Snapchat. So very similar to like a page or a Twitter account that sort of collects everything for you. This is pretty big for brands. This is a really big move. I'm really excited about it. I don't actually use Snapchat for literally anything, but this may finally encourage me to start using Snapchat for something. Snapchat is testing a TikTok-like feature in part of the app, and that feature is a vertical swipe, go up, or I guess down, but I think it's mostly up, as opposed to the horizontal left and right swipe. TikTok is known for the vertical swipe, apparently. Again, I don't really use the app, so I have no idea. I'm not installing Chinese spyware on my phone. I'm only installing good old American spyware on my phone. But they're testing that vertical swipe, so Snapchat marketers just know there's a difference now. You gotta go up instead of left and right. Over on Pinterest, Pinterest has published their 2020 advertising guide. Here we go to Reddit. Reddit now supports multiple images for a post. A couple of years ago, Reddit started hosting their own content instead of forcing everyone to link off to content over on sites like Imgur, which was the main image hosting website. And one of the big complaints among users is that they couldn't create galleries on Reddit itself. You could only upload one image at a time. But now you can upload multiple images on a Reddit post. Over on Twitter. Now the story that everybody knows about this week. Twitter got hacked, and the hack was really interesting because it only impacted 160 individuals with blue check marks, including Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and companies like Uber. In response, Twitter decided to shut down all usage of Twitter by blue checkmark accounts just to cut the hack off at the knees, to keep it from happening. This has been called the Great Muting because all of these Twitter profiles, which one journalist referred to as Twitter blowhards, were no longer able to brag about stuff and demand that people think the way they do and believe the way they do. And a lot of unverifieds, the rest of Twitter, actually rejoiced at this. They really enjoyed the platform. It became fun again for a few hours. There were all kinds of tweets going on and all kinds of conversations happening among groups of people that weren't so toxic and awful and just absolutely crappy like most of Twitter normally is right now. So very interesting stuff. Now, the hackers claim they got access from a Twitter employee to an internal tool that actually can access people's accounts from inside of Twitter and tweet on their behalf. And it also includes all kinds of labels and other things about that user, like limiting what that user can and can't do inside of the Twitter environment or giving them certain labels that admins can use to track. Another interesting thing that came out of this is that suddenly people who were able to tweet non-blue check marks realized they couldn't actually tweet cryptocurrency wallet addresses or more specifically Bitcoin wallet addresses. You just couldn't include one in a tweet. So it appears Twitter has a kill switch to turn off all cryptocurrency wallet addresses being entered into tweets and then those tweets actually being allowed to be posted. I tested this myself and I saw it. It's really fascinating that they have that built in there. So just know that Twitter probably has other kill switches where they can turn off all usage of certain things, snap of a finger. Bonus round! Hulu has announced a beta test for a self-serve advertising system. So advertising agencies definitely pay attention to this, but also if you like to play with new advertising platforms when they come out, you should try to sign up for the beta for the Hulu self-serve advertising program. The e-commerce company eBags claims that augmented reality being included in their products so that people could see the products inside of their own home led to a 112% increase in conversions or actual people purchasing the product. If you're in e-commerce out there and you're looking for an edge, it looks like building AR into your e-commerce platform may actually drive increased sales because people can kind of see what that product would look like in the real world. That makes a lot of sense to me. Finally, this week, the all-in-one SEO pack plugin for WordPress has a security vulnerability, and you probably want to patch that really quickly. This has been happening a lot with WordPress plugins out there, and all-in-one SEO pack is not alone in being vulnerable or having been hacked, especially as we see WordPress upgrading so quickly and so fast through version 5. So I would just pay really close attention to your plugins. If you're not paying a lot of attention and you think your website is just running on its own, it is not. You definitely need to be paying attention. I actually recommend going out and hiring somebody, not relying on your SEO. Go hire somebody else who does WordPress website updates, that just to keep your WordPress core updated, your plugins updated, your theme updated, and obviously keep everything backed up. You never know when something like this is going to happen, and you're the person that gets hit by the hacker first, and you lose customer data, or you lose sales, or they just steal all of your content and delete your website, and you're not ready for it, and somebody writes an article about you. Don't be that person. Keep everything secure. Keep everything up to date. That's it for the week in digital marketing so far, podcast edition. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of our podcast. If you like the podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you shared us with a friend or a colleague that is trying to keep up with all of the changes in digital marketing. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, head on over to the website joeyoungblood.com, click on the contact link, and send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. I'll talk to you next week.